Blog Talk Radio.
I'm Africa. I'm Otse. I'm Africa. I'm Tse. The beautiful African. He is a letter. Fatsalarona. The land is ours. Dikorahina. Shangolasho. Africa, we guarantee the individual, meaning you, Africa. You come first. What you say, what you want, what you demand will be measured and balanced in Africa against the others. That's why the ancestors created the tradition of Lakota in Bizo or council meetings to balance the individual rights and demands against the majority rights and the majority demands, to use the majority vote to resolve rights and dispute between individuals and peoples. But in Africa, the Lakota we see today of a political ruling elite, it concocts in Africa. They have used and abused the Lakota principle to meet, compromise, and surrender themselves to apartheid monopoly capital and global white power structure alliance in Africa. And then they come back, lie to us, lie to African the majority, after 22 years in office, in power in Africa, about they unleashing the second national democratic revolution as if there was ever the first revolution. Of course, except in Africa, you got the black vote, black president, black parliament, but compromise almost everything. Even the name of Africa, you did not reserve to use an indigenous name for the country. Hence, we pointed out in Africa that we have the conscious devastation of the consciousness, split identity, completely obliterated in Africa. And that's why today the country is sinking in sand. It's drifting because the foundation was improper. The foundation was sand. In Africa, this elite leadership, you know, they continue the same lie that they paraded to the world of being the only authentic liberation organization represent the oppressed people of South Africa. What has happened? What has happened, Africa? And the other question is, why five people, too many in Africa, died in Tshwane this week? The people burned 19 buses, destroyed businesses, many were arrested, and their lives may be wasted and destroyed in jail, Africa. Why? Because your political leaders, the party bosses, refused to accept the candidate you choose and want for mayor. Africa, your leaders are telling you that you do not understand how the party rules over you. And that is why you act crazy. Africa, you own the vote. You own the power of the vote. The people fought and sacrificed to win. Why, Africa, make yourself a scapegoat? Why run around as if you do not have a brain? You have a headless brain, like a chicken. Why run yourself crazy, Africa, to a point where you destroy what belongs to you? We pointed out that you're the one whose money is building these institutions. You don't destroy your own. You don't destroy your country. And the next thing is you get arrested or you get killed. When in fact you do own the power. You hold the power of the vote in your hand, Africa. And why vote a political party that looks and sees only your vote? Do not and care less to listen to you, the owner of the vote. Why? They see the vote, they don't see you. As my Africa, if provincial structures and leaders, more than 6 months ago, ahead of the time, asked the party bosses, they ask you to let them choose their own community candidates for mayor. Well, Africa, they are leaders too. They, not the party bosses, have the first right to choose the candidate for mayor and the community wants. That is the root and the right of the constituency government. But that is part of Lokota. That's how we grew up. You don't take a stranger from out there and come and rule over us. Yes, we are all Africans, but it starts locally first. It starts with the branch. It starts with the individual. It is rooted in the community so that the community can know, can converse on its rights and make demands if necessary. This idea of dictatorship of the proletariat, these are some of the foreign concepts that invaded our liberation struggle. And today we're in a mess, including the sunset laws. We're in a mess, bringing foreigners and foreign ideas into the mist. We say that in Africa, we are more Africa first. You come first. The people come first, not the party bosses. The party must listen and abide to you and the community, what the community wants and demands. Then demand you understand how the party rules over you. They don't understand party processes. Who are you? What party processes? Because the people are the ones that voted you in. Like, for example, let's say individuals looking for a job. When the jobs are not there because we've had a jobless economy. Jobless growth economy. If you want a job, you yourself, you go out and hunt to get the job. As an individual, not as a group. Later then, after you get the job, then you join the bargaining group, the unions. And to hunt for that job in Africa, you need a computer, at least have access time, or time to access the computer. You need a telephone. You have to buy or get free airtime to call. Next, you need taxi fare or train fare to go to the job site for the interview. Now, we know for a fact that our parents, when it was really bad and the apartheid, they would scramble in Africa, get a tiki, 2.5 cents or something. You go to uncles, you go to next door, they would assist you to go. But these days, Africa, we've won. We own the country. We have the liberation. We have the vote. You should be able to can get these things. And that's what my Africa is saying, that vote as my Africa. Then you will see miracles. Not these foreign concepts of dictatorships of the proletariat. They rule over you like dictators because you are just bulgus mogbule to them. Africa, 22 years after the black vote, if you are still too poor and penniless to pay a bus fare or taxi fare, to go and hear and see these party bosses sing and dance on stage, because that's what they like, using our state money to bus people to stadiums and stadium meetings so that they make as much noise and jive quiet in front of children. That is not what we fought for. And using state money to bus in people. Now, 22 years after independence, if you, more Africa, or if your populace, the people you lead in the majority, cannot afford a taxi fare to come to your meetings or to come and see you dance and bump and jive on the stage and sing, what's the point? More Africa, to revisit June 16, the student revolt in 1976. As you say, in Africa, we commemorate the young Hector Peterson and the youths who perished, paid the supreme sacrifice among those who revolted in Africa and hammered the final nail and death row to more than 300 years of minority settler occupation and rule. Those are the youth in Africa. But let the nation know. The nation must know and remember. And not forget that the PEC, the Pan-Africanist Congress, spearheaded the 21st March 1967 resistance massacre of 69 Africans, and that revolt in Africa, Sharpeville, it instigated the formation of the Liberation Armies. that is the Zanu People's Liberation Army and the Mkhonto we Sizwe, the ANC, a Zanu People's Liberation Army of the PEC and Mkhonto we Sizwe of the ANC. And Ma-Afrika, the PEC leadership, Ma-Afrika leadership, is the only liberation movement the apartheid regime charged and convicted for planning, fomenting, and instigating the June 16 student revolt. You know, it's in the record, Ma-Afrika. And that the convictions, the charges were filed at the Bethel trial, the biggest trial in the country. And in the case of Zephaniah Motsepe, who was number one accused versus the state, 16 PAC activists ages between 20 and 66 were convicted for conspiracy in the June 16 student revolt. And number one, Ma-Afrika, Zephaniah Motsepe, 30 years Ma-Afrika then, was sentenced to 66 years. John Ganya, sentenced to 11 years. And Mark Shinas, sentenced to 12 years. At that time, he was 37 years, and John Ganya was 48 years. And then you had Benin Dwele, sentenced to 10 years. At that time, he was 38 years. Hamilton Keke, sentenced to 5 years. At that time, he was 34 years. Michael Setembele Kaya was sentenced to 7 years. At that time, he was 24. And then we have Armed Njali Njali, 0 years. At the time, he was 47. Of course, he was in Swaziland, so they couldn't, more than likely, did not reach him, could not, he's out of reach. Julius Landingwe, 8 years. At the time, he was 30 years old. And Zolile Ndendwa, sentenced to 7 years conviction, at that time was 26. And then you had Moffat Zungu, sentenced to 7 years, he was 43 years old. Goodwill Mone, sentenced to 7 years, he was 24 years old. Jerry Mekodisang, sentenced to 7 years, was 26 years old. Michael Matsubane, sentenced to 12 years, he was 26 years old at that time. And then you had Johnson Nyati, sentenced to 10 years. He was 32 years old. And then Themba Hlatshwayo, sentenced to 10 years. He was 21 years old at that time. Rodney Tsholetsane, sentenced to 5 years, he was 20 years old at that time. Daniel Matsubane, convicted for 12 years, he was 31 years at that time. Molatlegi Tlhale, sentenced to 8 years, he was 22 years old. And the PEC, Mangaluso Robert Sobukwe himself, the founding president of the PEC, was mentioned as number one co-conspirator. The regime somehow did not arrest and jail Sobukwe. It is suspected that the regime knew of his advanced cancer, throat cancer, and the regime injected him while he was incarcerated and knew his death was near. So we commemorate in Africa the likes of Sam Malinga and Aaron Khosa, who the regime killed. They were arrested with the Bethel trial accused, and were killed, Ma-Afrika. Were killed in jail during before trial. Claim that they have committed suicide, and many of Ma-Afrika were massacred by the regime the same way. So Ma-Afrika, to quote Sobukwe, Sobukwe said that in Sharpeville, we overcame the fear of the consequence of disobeying colonial laws. It became respectable to go to jail and emerge as what Kwame Nkrumah called prison graduates. We stripped the colonialists of that weapon against us. The white man now in Soweto had to fall on his ultimate weapon, the gun. Soweto has been a lesson in overcoming the fear of the gun. Confrontation is inevitable. South Africa, as we say that, to commemorate the spirit and the sacrifice of those among us who paid the supreme sacrifice, we call Ma-Africa, we call the nation, to recapture the liberation struggle principles of high honor, high morality, and high discipline. We repeat, Ma-Africa, we see today dishonor and disrepute of the highest kind within the ranks of the liberation founding and guiding principles. 22 years after the first black vote, Ma-Africa, why you cannot vote the person and candidate the community wants, your community knows and believes will represent and deliver the needs and wishes of the community. Africa, as a community, you do not destroy the community water purification station to demand the political party appoint the candidate you want to elect as mayor. You don't do that. I mean, there are instances where groups of people have gone out to sabotage, break the water, drinking water purification station. How do you do that? You have the vote. Keep your vote to yourself and say, just keep it to your pocket. Just say, I'm not going to vote. If you don't do one, two, three, at least let me elect somebody that I know, that I have trust, that will deliver. Because it's all about patronage, my friend. Eat the way you want it. Get the people to elect who they want. Put the mechanisms in place to prevent and stop corruption and patronage networks. That's all you do. So you want the patronage to be controlled by the party bosses. They've been doing it. Oh, and then the next thing is, when they put their people all over the country in structures, when time comes for them to step down as for their disrepute, you can't do it because the structures are locked up. They have their people there. So that needs to stop. And the dishonor in Africa, the inhumanity against ourselves, we hear those certain politicians seeking your community vote, Ma-Africa, have gone out to disconnect drinking water pipes. These pipes are feeding the community, drinking water directly to the community. They stopped the pipes. You know what they did? They went and buy tank water, order a tank to go and get water somewhere, pay the drivers, pay the tanks to deliver the water. After they stop the pipes, the water running through the pipes, so that they can appear as if they're delivering. Now, Ma-Africa, this kind of fraud, malfeasance, this is a crime against humanity. And nobody's going to charge these people because the judicial system is almost collapsing. Like this question of appointing people that you like, the bosses appoint people that they like the most into these structures. So nothing happens. There is no law, there's disorder, there's mayhem, and there's corruption. The community in Africa has a right to choose the candidate the community wants, period. And you, Africa, you have the power to write in the candidate the community wants. Like, for example, you should be able to can write the IEC. So no, we want this candidate. Why can't we submit petitions with names of people that we want against the party bosses? Submit the signatures, Ma-Africa, to the IEC and demand. Or you can stand up, Ma-Africa, and let the community choose you to represent and deliver what the community wants. Just stand up as Ma-Africa. It's okay, look, within the community, Ma-Africa, just stand up. Even if across the party line, go and stand up, because this is what other people are doing. Ma-Africa, we are talking about the public interest, the public good. The public will must rule, Ma-Africa. And yes, Ma-Africa, we, Ma-Africa, we guarantee you that right, individual right, but individual excesses, Ma-Africa, individual abuse and misuse of the public vote to mislead. We give you the vote. After that, you mislead, misgovern. Engage in corruption and theft against the public. You must suffer sanctions, public ridicule and sanctions under the law without fear or favor. But we have appointees, even within the judicial organs of state, appointed to do a job. And we are saying that Mafrika state organs and officers must serve, be bound to guarantee and uphold the public good and interests. Like, for example, Mafrika, the case where the executive and public officials using public money to commit corruption, or file an appeal after an appeal with no reasonable prospect of success. Much so when even the court of appeal has argued and ruled and established case law precedents or a similar case matter. The accused has the right. Yeah, you have the right to appeal limitless time, but go use your money, man. And Parliament in Africa is obligated to look into this matter very close, but they can't because they are paratics. They can't. They've got to protect public money against overuse, misuse, and abuse by public officials who are filing frivolous appeals to frustrate and subvert the law. We are witnessing Africa in the country, in figurative terms, a public money sausage-spitting machine that is fooled by lawyers giving bad legal advice, and maybe they give advice that politicians want to hear. So that what do they do? Well, just simply exploit the public money theft. To exploit the public money, we pay high fees for these politicians to file frivolous appeals and litigations. And the Office of the Chief Legal Advisor of Africa, which is not autonomous, it is not independent to rule against these politicians. So what do they do? They either shut their mouth. So we need to get ourselves in place, get our act in place, and be able to run that country properly, because it is leaking like a sieve. And we say again, Mafrika, the Parliament has a singular obligation to establish a judicial ad hoc committee that is aided by legal experts that will provide judicial organs and public officials, you know, advice against engaging or using public money for frivolous litigations and appeals, waste and abuse of public money. But they can't do it, Mafrika. They're not in a position to do it. And you ask yourself, why did the NPA, the National Prosecuting Authority, the Director of National Prosecuting Authority, take public money to go and appeal the case against a corrupt politician? A case of murder and corruption against a police officer. Why? Why? And of course, the court, Mafrika, ruled to reinstate the charges against the officer. And in fact, the Bar Council has filed perjury charges currently in court to disbar the prosecutor in the police murder and corruption case, the one that filed those things, those frivolous objections. Mafrika, we're in trouble. This is not good. And of course, we've got the case of the president, the recent case of the president, the appeal at the High Court that was dismissed. And the High Court, Mafrika, in a majority rule, consensus judgment, it ruled, Mafrika, that the decision to prosecute this matter was not in the hands of the prosecution boss, Sean Abrahams. It is not in his boss, because he has proven to be somewhat, you talk about public interest, we don't know what the man is representing. And the court continues, Mafrika, the court had no obligation to make an order that the matter should be referred back to NDTP. Of course, the court does not have the jurisdiction to impose itself on other state organs. It can only advise. But it went on to say that the setting aside of the withdrawal of criminal charges has an effect that the charges are automatically reinstated. According to the court, those charges are automatically reinstated. So, Africa, we got to get the country back. We got to get it back. We got to get our act. Let's get our under Azania. Because the word South Africa now, with the British withdrawing from the from the European Economic Community, EU, European Union, and we are still holding on to that name shamelessly. We are still holding on to the name South Africa. That is named after a 19-year-old boy who came from with 3,000 Cecil John Rhodes. Permanent state of deception and devastation of our consciousness. That's why we say, Africa, vote as more Africa, to liberate us, liberate our minds, and let's stop the mess. We can stop it. And Africa, the other question is, why government pays councillors, mayors, premiers, members of parliament, cabinet, members of cabinet, far more, I mean obscenely, more than engineers, scientists, nurses, teachers, police, soldiers, and people. People who do much. They do much more to build and keep the country going, keep the nation, manage the nation. You can't say that you are still compensating, you are compensating politicians for their sacrifice and liberation of the country. You can't say that. We collectively, the African majority, suffered and liberated this country. And the abnormal pay in Africa, it includes in parliament and municipalities, pay to those who, even in the state organs, pay to those who were part of the apartheid oppressive regime. They are there, either. Now, we would like to hear the freedom fighters, Africa, socialists, and more especially so-called communists, say something about the abnormal pay and tax negatively, that negatively increases and inflates the public debt. Africa politicians should be paid relative to the majority income, the income of the majority or the poverty index, and their input in creating jobs, increasing the gross domestic product, national income, and the quality of life. You're talking about housing, health, education, community safety, and utilities. Let's get these things first, right in place first, before you can overpay people. Let them be paid on their performance. And also that you can't be sending people unelected to parliament. They have to be responsible and accountable to somebody else. They have to be accountable to communities, because that's where our revolution started. It didn't start at top. They started right there in communities. And we know for a fact that they are seasoned ex-Robben Island prisoners that spent years in jail. We talk about life. They were the ones to be first sentenced to life. They are still in communities. Why can't we listen to our communities and to my Africa leadership? Why don't you listen to the veterans and the elders and trying to run this thing your own? Going to court repeatedly, even to deny your people the right to participate, questioning your people's right to participate in municipal elections. What does that have to do with national leadership? The politicians from Africa, 22 years after independence, the first vote, they are talking about the glaring, stubborn, and increasing poverty among the poor majority and the increasing inequality between the rich and the poor in the country. You set it up. You set up the crevasse, the opening. You made it more deeper, the opening between the poor, the rich and the poor. You did it. The ruling party alliance, you keep on screaming about the National Democratic Revolution 22 years after the first black vote. Yeah? And then talking about the second democratic revolution. You are now sucking the public fiscus, getting obscene salaries and tax. That's your revolution right there. And shamelessly continue to pump and screw the public debt. Now, that the money that we pay, the salary budget, inflates and increases the public debt, which is the money debt on the children. So, Africa, socialist, revolutionary, stand up. I challenge you, Africa, to start the democratic revolution. First, cut excessive and obscene public wages that impacts negatively on the public debt. Isolate you, Africa. Fasela Rona, Shangolashu. Thank you for the privilege of talking to you, and thank you for the privilege of listening.